Why is it that Christians die in natural disasters like everybody else?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. This is a very somber day. My apologies for the studio playing the incorrect tease to this show. This is not the show from last week where we talked about Christians dying in natural disasters. So my apologies for the studio getting that wrong in Winston-Salem. I'm in Dallas, Texas. We've had massive connection problems right until the last second. So I'm glad to be with you. It's a sober day. It is the one-year anniversary of the October 7th massacre, the worst shedding of Jewish blood in any day since the Holocaust, something unprecedented on the soil of Israel, where the whole motto was never again. We now have a homeland. We now have a place where we can protect ourselves. And yet there were massive security system failures on Israel, monumental failures. And this is what happens when Israel's not vigilant for one day. Hamas terrorists, murderers, cold-blooded murderers, baby killers, rapists, slaughters of the elderly, slaughters of the innocent, still holding scores of hostages, including one baby who was 8 months old when taken 1 year ago with his four-year-old brother. This is what Israel has been dealing with even today, as decimated as Hamas is, bombs coming in from Gaza. Even today, bombs coming in, missiles coming in from Lebanon. And just a few days ago, a massive ballistic onslaught from Iran with half-ton explosives on each of these 190 or so ballistic missiles. Thank God that the Iron Dome and the other defense systems performed flawlessly and miraculously. There were no casualties, no Israeli casualties. Israel surrounded by enemies that want to wipe it out. And yet, in light of this, anti-Semitism worldwide has only increased, and there are people, major voices on the left and right, some with millions of followers, saying, well, those things didn't have nobody, no women were raped, and babies weren't killed, and as if all the other slaughter is somehow not so bad. So we're going to talk about this today. As I told students at Christ for the Nations Institute, where I was teaching this morning, the same devil that wants to wipe out Israel wants to wipe you out. If you're a follower of Jesus, he's marked you as well. The hatred, the onslaught, the evil, the horrors that you saw on that day, that epitomizes, that represents who the enemy is. And he has that same murderous hatred for you. So thanks for tuning in today on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. It is a sober day. We want to remember, and we want to move forward, and we want to do it with hope, but not at the denial of pain and human suffering. And yes, I care about Palestinian suffering. I see them ultimately as victims of Hamas as well. And the Lebanese people suffering, I see them victims of Hezbollah. These are victims of radical Islam. These are victims of terrorist organizations that want to wipe Israel off the map. And some of them, like the Houthis, part of their slogan is death to Israel and death to America, by the way. And there were radical Muslims in the past who said first the Saturday people, meaning the Jews, then the Sunday people, meaning the Christians. So yes, this matters to each of us. Plus, this is ultimately a spiritual battle because it's God who brought the Jewish people back to land, God who preserved us because of his goodness and faithfulness, not because of our goodness and faithfulness, brought us back to the land, established us there. It is Satan who wants to wipe us out. Therefore, we stand with God against Satan. If you have a question for me regarding the legitimacy of Israel in the land today, regarding whether the people of Israel today are related to the Israel in the Bible, if you somehow believe Israel is guilty of genocide or committing terrorist acts, or you're just trying to answer other people who raise those charges, give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. That is the number to call. The Jerusalem Post published an article today, and I want to read through it. It is Hamas's October 7th massacre, reliving the day hour by hour. Now, remember, this was at the end of the high holiday season in the fall. So you have the first day of the seventh month on the biblical calendar, but it's the first day of the first month on the traditional Jewish calendar. Yom Teruah, the sounding of the trumpets, the blowing of the shofar, a great wake-up call, wake-up time. That's why it became, one of the reasons it became the Jewish New Year. That's followed by 10 days called Yamim Noraim, the days of awe, time of soul-searching in the Jewish community, especially among religious Jews, time of repentance, leading up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day of the 7th month. 5 days after that is Sukkot, Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. And that goes on for a full week. Then an 8th day was ultimately added, Shmini Atzeret, the 8th day of the feast, the festival. But Sukkot closes in traditional Judaism with what's called Simchat Torah, which is the rejoicing for the Torah, the rejoicing because of the giving of the law, the Torah, to Israel, considered the great privilege that God entrusted Israel with his commandments to be a witness nation on the earth. It is a day of rejoicing, celebration. It is to be the most joyous day on the calendar. And it was that day, that Sabbath, that Hamas attacked. 50 years to the Sabbath, from the first Sabbath of October, 50 years earlier in 1973, on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, that's when Egypt launched an attack and the Yom Kippur War. So now 50 years later to the first Sabbath of October, because the Jewish calendar shifts compared to the solar calendar. It uses a lunar calendar compared to the solar calendar, so the dates will shift from year to year. But 50 years to that Sabbath, again, a massacre in Israel, but this one far worse, with hostages still languishing there today. And in addition to the 1,200-plus who were murdered that day, and the over 250 that were taken hostage, about 700, well, over 700 Israeli soldiers have been killed in battle since then. Israelis will watch TV each night wondering who's the next casualty, who's the next fatality, my neighbor's son, my friend's husband, who's the next one. And again, the Palestinians in Gaza would not be suffering today as they are if not for Hamas and their evil and their atrocities. 866-34-TRUTH. So this is by the Jerusalem Post staff, published this morning. 1 year ago today, Hamas terrorists invaded southern Israel, massacring thousands of Israelis and foreign nationals and taking hundreds more hostage, launching Israel into an unprecedented year of threats, attacks, assassinations, protests, and war. So here is the chronology. 6:29 to 6:50 a.m. First siren sound in the Gaza border communities of Nahal Oz, Ofakim, Kfar Aza, near Oz, Kisufim, and Be'eri, as well as the city of Sderot. Only a few moments later, sirens sound across southern Israel and the Shfela region, as well as in Tel Aviv and nearby cities in central Israel. At this point, most of the nation was hiding in shelters. Mid heavy rocket fire, IDF field observers at the Nahal Oz outpost identified two gunmen running towards the fence. They also see terrorists detonating parts of the border fence at 6:45 a.m., system disruptions at the outpost lead to some 70 terrorists raiding the base, with more joining the murderous raid later in the morning. In Kfar Aza, YNET photographer Roy Edon takes the first footage of Hamas paragliders entering Israel. Minutes later, his wife Smadar is killed before he himself is murdered while holding his 3-year-old daughter, Abigail. Some 3,500 revelers attended the Nova Music Festival near Kibbutz Re'im the night before. When the first interceptions and blasts were heard, they were told to lie on the ground and protect their heads with their hands, despite no sirens being triggered in the area. At 6:32 a.m., party organizers announced the event had ended and called on everyone to leave. Most left towards the car park. 6:50, hundreds of terrorist invaders begin entering Israeli towns from terrorists on jeeps seen driving through Sderot to infiltrations on Be'eri, Kisufim, Ofakim, and Nahal Oz. By 7:20 a.m., an emergency standby squad of the kibbutz near the Erez crossing identifies some 20 terrorists making their way towards the kibbutz. A traffic jam ensues at the exit from the Re'im festival area. There's only one route, Route 32. 232 leads out of the car park. Terrorists are infiltrated the Gaza Strip, and so the movements of cars in the area open fire at the vehicles shortly before 7, barring the exit. Hostages were taken on the scene. 7 a.m., Partygoers escape from their cars to the nearby fields as the terrorists are pursuing them. Many hide in the fields wounded. More hostages were taken into Gaza. Many who already left the party area did not know of the terrorist invasion. Upon hearing the sirens, they sought refuge in mobile bomb shelters along Route 232. When the terrorists saw them, they hurled grenades at them. Nahal combat soldier Anir Shapira, who hid one of the shelters, managed to fend off seven of the grenades before he was killed. His close friend Hirsch Goldberg-Paulin, who was with him, was taken hostage along with Elia Cohn and Ora Levy. 7:50. Footage surfaces of armed terrorists driving white pickup trucks in the southern city of Sderot, spreading quickly on social media and news outlets and sowing panic among Israelis. 7:53, IDF issues the first official response stating Hamas carried out a combined operation involving rocket fire and terrorist infiltrations. 8 to 9 in the morning, security forces begin arriving at the scenes of the massacres across southern Israel. 8:04, IDF announces state of alert for war as Hamas's Mohammed Deif says Hamas has begun Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. 8:14, first siren sound in Jerusalem. 8:20, IDF begins striking Hamas targets in the Gaza Strip. Minutes later, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant approves the emergency call-up of additional reserve units. 9 o'clock, Ronen Engel is killed by terrorists while attempting to defend his family. His body is taken to the Gaza Strip. At 9:26 a.m., Ronan's wife, Karina, is taken captive while their two daughters, Milka and Yuval, are taken captive. 9:06, an Israeli woman is killed by rocket debris in Tel Aviv, making the first death on October 7th that did not occur in the south. 9:30, terrorists begin a mass massacre and mass murder of whoever's on site of the Nova Music Festival. 364 civilians, Israelis, and foreign nationals were horrifically murdered as videos of fleeing partygoers flooded social media. During this time, terrorists who had infiltrated Kfar Aza begin massacring and kidnapping residents. 10:25, IDF spokesman Daniel Hagari becomes the first authority figure to address the Israeli public. Hagari announces the IDF has launched Operation Swords of Iron and says some 2,200 rockets were fired into Israel, along with terrorists carrying out raids into Israeli territory. Adds that the IDF will enlist tens of thousands to reserve duty. At the same time, terrorists kidnap Carmel Gott from her home in Be'eri. Her mother, Kinneret, is later killed. Terrorists take Carmel's brother Alon, his wife Yardane, and their three-year-old daughter Geffen into a vehicle. The three manage to escape. An hour later, terrorists capture Yardane again, while Alon and his daughter manage to hide from view. This is just the first few hours, friends. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tribeuta Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss, for some foolish reason, a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
Nopalea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. We'll get to some calls in a bit, but as I'm just looking at a caller from Sydney, Australia, think of it, friends, it was 3 days, 3 days after the October 7th massacre, before Israel had launched a major counterattack yet into Gaza. And Muslims gathered at the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, Australia, were chanting, "Gas the Jews." Friends, this is reality. You have students on college campuses in America saying, "We are all Hamas." They're not just saying we're standing with the Palestinians. They're saying we are all Hamas. We too are terrorists who want the annihilation of Israel. Friends, these are realities. There's no way you just stick your head in the sand and ignore it. There was an editorial by Brett Stevens in New York Times saying this is the year 2024 was the year American Jews woke up and saw the extent of anti-Semitism in the country on the left and on the right from all different angles, from all different sides. They were aware of it on the right, now became shockingly aware of it on the left. What I want to do to drill this home a little bit further, for those watching on YouTube and Facebook, you'll see this. But I want to take you to the site of the Nova Music Festival. I mentioned previously that one of my colleagues, intercessor leads a house of prayer, told me that he met one of the first responders to the massacre, met one of the first responders that was so traumatized by what he saw. This is someone used to seeing tragedy and accidents and horrific things. He was so traumatized by what he saw, he could not speak literally for 2 weeks after getting there. And he gave him a pendant in English. It said, "Bring them home now for the hostages." But in Hebrew, it said, our hearts are held hostage in Gaza. So this is footage from the site of the massacre that I took with my dear friend Ron Cantor, who lives in Israel with his Israeli wife, Ilana. And we'll divide into a couple of segments. It's a little bit long, but you'll hear everything on radio. If you're watching on YouTube or Facebook, then you'll be able to see as well. So let's play that first clip. So I'm here at the grounds of the Nova Music Festival with my old friend for decades, Ron Cantor. Ron's been here a bunch of times. I just got here, and it's a bit overwhelming. Everywhere you see, this is a young person, someone that was here that died. Most of them died, some taken captive. It's... What do you say, Ron? I mean, how do we describe this?
It was a massacre. Here, 300, well, there were thousands of young people here doing what young people do. And at about 6:30 in the morning, Gaza's right that way, they began to see, maybe a little bit north, explosions in the sky.
But it's no big deal, right? For Israelis.
For an Israeli, rockets coming from Gaza is just, you know, Tuesday, or it's just normal. I was in Brazil recently, and I said to a pastor, you know, in the beginning, we thought it was just rocket fire.
Yeah.
And he stopped me and said, "Just rocket fire?"
Yeah.
But that's what we live with.
All the time.
So there's explosions in the sky. They're kind of making jokes in the beginning, like, we have the Iron Dome, we're going to be okay. And then they begin to hear gunfire. And every 10 minutes or so, it got more and more severe. What happened is there's a road right out there, which is why we don't believe that it was their initial plan to come here. They didn't know about this.
Right, so they find out, they would have come in a different way.
They would have come in directly from Gaza, right from the fence.
Yeah, so they're coming down this road, probably going somewhere else. And it's like, look at this.
Yeah, yeah.
Shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah.
Israeli. Unprotected. So, just little security, right?
There's a Israeli documentary that was done that shows all the text messages and the conversations, WhatsApp, you know, voices to parents and, you know, fathers saying, you know, mothers crying, "Hi, do what you can, hi, we're sending help." Messages of mothers knowing their children were dying, have been shot already, saying help is on the way, but knowing help isn't going to come. So they flooded in from the street, from the road, and they begin to shoot. And kids just begin to, I mean, there are bomb shelters here. They threw grenades into the bomb shelters. In the end, Dr. Brown, it was 346 young people that were killed. And this is what I'm going to share now. This is a little bit intense, a little warning. But there's a woman named Gal Davush. She came with her husband. They got separated. When they finally found her, by eyewitness testimony, she had been gang raped. Her underwear was down to her knees. Her crotch was bloodied. She had been, from what we understand, after the last one was done with her, he just shot her in the head. They cut off one of her breasts and played with it like a toy. Yeah. This was savagery beyond anything we can imagine.
Yeah, they just, I mean, people who look at Jews as animals anyway, as just the enemy to be killed. And so people say, yeah, but this is like a rock festival. Yeah, people doing what people do, murder them. You know, right. And ironically, these are like peaceniks here.
Right.
These are the people like love everybody, get along together, right?
They would be most likely to want to do some sort of peace program with Palestinians, hoping for peace with Palestinians. They're not hardcore right wingers. They don't call for death for Arabs. They're sweet kids.
So the mentality of Hamas, it's not about let's work out a two-state solution and live side by side peacefully. Hamas says there can be no Jews. In the land, there can be no Jews. They must be annihilated or driven out. And Hamas, it's not about a nationalist movement. It's radical Islam. In other words, the enemies of America are the same enemies here.
Well, that's really been the philosophy or the ideology of the Arab nations going back to before 1948. There can't be a Jewish nation here.
Yeah.
Now, over time, Egypt, Jordan, now Morocco, they said, you know what, this is ridiculous. It's better to live in peace. But the radical Islamic ideologies... Iran calls for the they don't call for a Palestinian state.
Right.
They call for the destruction of Israel. And while we're talking about the G word, genocide, understand that Israel has suffered through 53 attempted genocides. Go back to Esther. The very words that Haman and the Ahasuerus sent out, it said, on this day, you were to go out and you were to kill every Jew, women and children, young and old. Moses, when he was a baby, escaped genocide.
Yeah.
Jesus, Yeshua, escaped genocide. The Holocaust. So genocide, we're not perpetrators. We're victims of it.
Right. And from the very outset, let's move all the way up to 1947.
Right.
Because there was a proposal for two states before that.
37. Yes, 36. Okay.
So 47, when the UN announces the partition plan,
right.
At that time, the Arab nations start attacking. Right?
Yes.
Then in 48, when Israel declares its independence, then the major war.
Right.
So the whole thing about the Nakba, originally that meant the defeat of the Arab nations in war. That was its first reference there, the so-called catastrophe. So the only thing that has kept Israel here is God's grace and militant security.
Right.
In other words, it's not like everyone said, okay, live and let live. It's like, no, we will wipe you out. We just can't do it yet.
Right. We have to apologize for having an effective military.
Yeah.
We have to apologize for having the Iron Dome. I see it. Congressmen, congresswomen all the time say it's not fair because Israel has the Iron Dome. Understand, if we don't have the Iron Dome, I live in Ashkelon. I see rockets go over my house to Ashdod all the time. Rockets land in, we were ground zero for rocket fire on October 7th. If we did not have the Iron Dome, it would have been a massacre.
Yeah.
And it would have been one of many throughout the last 20, 30 years.
Right. And Hamas has said since October 7th, we want to do October 7th over and over.
Yes.
Until there is no more. And those, look around.
Yeah.
This is celebrated.
Right.
Look, whatever. As Israel's waging war in Gaza, and let's say they could do this a little better, this a little better. We know the intent is not to kill civilians.
Right.
That's the intent, the goal.
Right.
And that's why right now, so many Israeli soldiers are dying in Gaza, trying to fight a certain way and not kill citizens, minimize that. To the contrary, in Gaza, that when they drag the corpse of an Israeli, not even a soldier, Israeli woman, everyone shouting Allahu Akbar. This is radical Islam. It's infected a whole people. I look at the people of Gaza as victims in a sense of all, because they've been indoctrinated. They've been raised with this, with state TV. They live under radical Islam. My friends will continue on the other side of the boat.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tributa Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss, for some foolish reason, a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
Nopalea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire. Thanks again for joining us, Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you on a very heavy day, an intense day, the one-year anniversary of the October 7th massacre. And again, what makes things so much more intense is Israel now is facing war on even more fronts. Iran attacked directly. There is the ongoing war now with Hezbollah in Lebanon. There are Iranian militias, Shiite militias in Iran. There is more terrorist activity in Judea Samaria called the West Bank. The Houthis in the south in Yemen have launched rockets. Israel fighting back, attacking there. Remember, the Houthis, just like Hezbollah, it's not just death to Israel, it's death to America. Just remember that. It's not like, oh, we just kind of sit cozy. The same hatred is coming against us as well as Americans, and the same hatred is coming against us as followers of Jesus around the world, the same demonic hatred. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll get your calls shortly, but a very, very important announcement. We've been live on Truth Radio stations for at least an hour a day, in some cases 2 hours, at least an hour a day since 2008. And we have shifted now to a 30-minute equipping teaching program that we've launched on a couple of hundred other stations, but we haven't launched on Truth yet. We're going to make that launch the first Monday of November. That means if you've been listening between 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, 3 to 3:30, it's going to be exactly the same, except a very focused equipping show where we really stay on topics and pour in for a period of weeks. I think you'll love it. I think you'll be enriched by it. I think you'll be blessed by it. But there will not be a broadcast from 3:30 to 4. So if that's when you normally listen, what you want to do is just go wherever you get podcasts, whether it's Spotify, whether it's iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, just subscribe to the Line of Fire Radio Podcast. It's going to have a new name come November, but if you subscribe, you'll get it. So this way, you can keep listening. You won't miss a beat, all right? If you normally listen the first half hour, nothing changes. If you listen the second half hour, that'll be different. We're also going to be adding a lot more content on YouTube and doing live streaming in different settings, extended broadcasts, all kinds of great new features once we are freed up from the daily one-hour live radio. So if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, please do so. Go to The Line of Fire on YouTube. Just look for The Line of Fire, Dr. Brown, and subscribe. And then there's a bell. Click the bell. That will guarantee that with each new broadcast, each new feature, each new interview, each new teaching, each new commentary, you'll be notified about it as it's happening. All right, let us listen to the rest of this footage from the Nova Music Festival with Ron Cantor. Then we'll get to some of your calls. So in your view, when the terrorists do this, mm-hmm. and they try to deny the sexual thing, but they can't. Even the UN.
Overwhelming evidence.
Even the UN had to acknowledge, yes, right. There was sexual violence against women. In light of all this, why is it that the whole world isn't outraged with Hamas? The whole world hasn't said, you give back the hostages now. Why is the main critique of Israel?
Well, number one is in progressive circles these days, if you are perceived to be oppressed, then you are right in whatever you do. I saw one post that said rape is resistance. In other words, anything you do, if you're oppressed, whether it's murder, rape, whatever, it's okay.
Justifiable.
That's in the natural. Yeah. But then in the spiritual, understand that the Jewish people are God's chosen nation. We have to be here at the coming of the Lord.
Yeah.
This nation must be here. Zechariah 14, he comes back to the Mount of Olives.
Right.
And so Satan's mission since Abraham has been to wipe out the Jewish people. That's why it's not just today, 53 attempted genocides throughout history.
So when God says about Israel, B'ni B'chori Israel, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So the moment he marks Israel for a purpose, right, of service in the world to make God known, bring the Messiah to the world, the moment he marks them, Satan marks them.
Right.
Wants to destroy them. And then when he promises the land, Satan wants to keep him out of the land. Yeshua's coming back to a Jewish Jerusalem. Keep Jerusalem out of Jewish hands.
Right.
And then by all means, keep Jews away from Yeshua. To deny that this whole thing is satanic is to deny reality. It's to be irrational, isn't it?
Right, right, right.
So how is Israel feeling right now? Just yesterday, 150 missiles from Hezbollah in the north.
170.
170. Okay, first start 100, then 150, 170. And how many tens of thousands have been evacuated?
About 80,000 in the north and about 80,000 down here in Gaza.
Right, right. So this is just ongoing. Obviously, people weary, but the fight for the hostages every day. What's the psyche of the Israelis right now?
The mood in this country is that we are broken. If I didn't have Yeshua, if I didn't wake up every day and remember what I believe, who he is, him inside of me, I would be utterly hopeless. And that's most of the country. We had some good news on Shabbat.
Yeah.
My wife and I were coming home from our weekly congregational service, and we stop in a cafe. We have no idea what's happened. And these two women, we're sitting at the bar, eating at the bar, and these two women sit next to us, and we could see something's going on. And we start to, and they tell us, they said, my best friend, her son just got rescued, and we're on our way to the hospital.
Yeah.
So the whole nation, for one day, there was a sense of release and joy and happiness at four out of over 100.
And the one young lady that the whole world knew, because there's the footage
Noah
of her.
Noah Agamani.
Right. So her boyfriend is separated, and then they're putting on a motorcycle, and she's saying, please don't kill me, with terror in her eyes. So everyone, when you saw that face, it's like,
right.
You know, you could relate much more.
Yes. And so for one day, there was just this sense of peace, victory, joy. But then the next day, or 2 days later, 170 missiles from Hezbollah. We're fighting a two-front war. You hear about Hamas, but Hezbollah is alive and well, far better equipped than Hamas. So for the most part, Israelis are living with a daily hopelessness.
Yeah. So for followers of Jesus, followers of Yeshua, who will watch this interview, who will hear this interview, what can they do? What should they do? What should their posture be? We grieve over the death of Palestinians. You are a very strong critic of the current government. So it's not like whatever Israel does, we just sanction blindly. Right. But we know Satan is trying to wipe the Jewish people out. We know that Hamas, Hezbollah, these are satanic entities. These terrorists need the radical transformation of God, and there needs to be justice to stop their activity. What can believers do? What should they do?
Let me just say two things. Number one is prayer. We need prayer, intercession, every day. It was the Jewish people that birthed the ecclesia. It was through Anna and Simeon praying hours and hours and hours. And they were prototypes of thousands of other Jews that were praying for the coming of Messiah, and it's gone to the nations. Now we need you to pray. Be that womb of intercession to pray blessing and grace and revival here in Israel. The other thing is lift up your voice. If you go online, it's the wild, wild west. It's very nasty. Anti-Semitism is, it's okay now. I see it every, some everywhere. Of the most, everywhere. I saw yesterday a fellow, I think he was in New York, saying that he wished Hitler was still alive to finish the job. We need you to lift up your voice. Do not be silent. Let people know that you stand with Israel, that you stand with the Jewish people.
You know, 3 days after October 7th, so before the full offensive is in motion, Muslims in Sydney, Australia, at the Sydney Opera House are chanting, gas the Jews. Protesters recently at Columbia University saying, we are all Hamas. So let's identify the
one of their professors saying he was exhilarated when he saw October 7th.
Oh, yeah, famous anti-Semite Norman Finkelstein said, he thought it was only 50 Israelis killed first. He was exhilarated. Yeah. The numbers got higher, not as exhilarated. So this is something very demonic. And last thing, I'm hearing reports, though. I've talked to young men who are serving in Gaza, serving in the north, at home for a few days, going back out, that they're finding greater openness than ever among the Israelis.
Yeah.
I've heard just even on the secular realm, you watch secular TV, they're praying the Psalms, things like that. There's a recognition of Christian love for Israel, like the bulletproof vest that you're distributing, God TV, other Christian ministries.
Mm-hmm.
One fellow said to me that, a guy said, are you Christian? Yes. Are you evangelical? Yes. He said, thank the evangelicals.
Mm-hmm.
So is this a time of spiritual openness in the midst of the pain?
Well, I don't want to exaggerate. Whenever things like this happen, go back to 9/11, there is an initial first nationwide unity.
Yeah.
That's already gone.
Right.
Certainly when you face death in the eyes, so many Israelis died. You begin to think about eternity. I wouldn't call it a move of God. I wouldn't call it revival, but there's openness. I've heard reports too of believing soldiers. 1,000 soldiers are messianic, sharing with other soldiers. One guy coming home and grabbing a bunch of books before going back because he's getting so many questions. But we need more. We need more prayer. We need God to show up.
Yeah. May God bring revival to the people of Gaza. May their eyes be open to the murderous regime they're under and the deadly religion of radical Islam. May God bring good out of this terrible, terrible loss of life.
All right, friends, that was recorded back in June. And at a certain level, things have only intensified since, now with the war on different fronts. Of course, Israel has successfully decimated the leadership of Hezbollah. You say, well, Mike Brown, you're a follower of Jesus. How do you feel about that? I'm glad when terrorists or murderers, mass rapists, whatever they are in any part of the world, I'm glad when wicked people are stopped from doing more wickedness. When Hitler was killed or committed suicide, when the Nazis were stopped, that was a good thing. At the same time, I grieve that human beings created in the image of God, for whom Jesus Yeshua died, and who could have had a very different destiny, a very different life, died in their sin and are lost under the judgment of God. I'm glad that it happened. I'm glad that judgment came, either through the hand of man or through the hand of God. I'm glad they can no longer carry out their murderous acts. That's good news. And that's why there's singing and rejoicing in Scripture, when the wicked are taken down, the righteous rejoice. I still grieve for people created in God's image, whose lives were used as tools of the devil. And in many cases, they leave behind family, wives, children that are not just without husbands, in most cases that would be the situation, or a brother is now taken away. They leave families behind. Often this only further radicalizes the families. So I don't just sit around and laugh, ha, 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 all these terrorists are going down. I'm glad that the world potentially could be a safer place, but I recognize without God's intervention that this evil will only continue. Your prayers are more powerful than you realize. Pray for God's merciful intervention in Israel and the Middle East, and for the hearts of Jews and Muslims throughout the land and the surrounding regions to turn to Him. This is also a great time to stand with our ministry, because we are involved on many fronts, on the front lines, standing against the lies of anti-Semitism and reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You can stand with us by going to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, to donate. Your contributions now are very timely and will help us do important work in the land.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tributa Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well, I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss for some foolish reason a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
Nopalea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I've been promising to get to the calls. I'm going to do that momentarily. And I just want to say this first. When people say, well, Israel's committing genocide, bear in mind that Israel's been accused of committing genocide for decades now. So here are the facts, just the facts. There were roughly 200,000 Arabs who stayed in Israel after the founding of the state, did not leave because of the war. They are today over 2 million. There's an increase of tenfold, 1,000%. The so-called genocide. You say, no, I'm talking about the Palestinians in the West Bank and Gaza. Okay, West Bank, so Judea, Samaria, occupied by Israel after the 1967 Six-Day War. Their population then was roughly 600,000. Today it's roughly 2.5 million, increase of more than 400%. Well, no, it's genocide in Gaza, okay? When Israel pulled out of Gaza unilaterally in 2005, the population there was roughly 1.4 million. Today, it's 2.1 million. Well, 40,000 Palestinians killed. The day after October 7th, when I was preaching in Texas and asking the congregation to share God's heart with pain for Israel, I said, pray for the Palestinians as well, because more Palestinians will die in this war than Israelis. It's a given, because Hamas is embedded intentionally in civilian areas, as is Hezbollah in Lebanon. And the more civilians that die, the better PR for Hamas and for Hezbollah. And I've seen national leaders say, speaking of Gaza, we're a nation of martyrs. If 1 million to 2 million die in the war, it's okay. Why? Because we're a nation of martyrs. And this just makes Israel look worse. Yes, a very sick, ungodly mentality. Even so, using the Hamas numbers of roughly 40,000 killed, because they were the ones reporting the numbers. Hamas controls the information out of Gaza. Even if that's true, Israel sends out every kind of warning it can in advance, leaflets, calls, leave this area. Before it went into Rafah, it successfully moved 1 million people out of the way before coming in to invade the south. So the initial bombardment, yes, many civilian casualties. Israel regrets it and launches investigations into where soldiers did wrong. Remember, Israel accidentally killed three of its own hostages who had escaped. That's how difficult it is to figure out what's going on there. And maybe 20% or more of Israeli fatalities in Gaza are friendly fire. That's how difficult it is to engage there. If their own people are unintentionally getting killed, yes, Hamas embedded in the midst of civilians, other civilians are going to be killed. But even with those numbers, aside from those that just die by natural cause over the course of a year, because that's all included in the numbers, Hamas doesn't tell you that roughly half of those people, 20,000, were Hamas terrorists who were killed, which means civilian to terrorist is 1-to-1, which is an unheard of correspondence in the war. Normally, civilian fatalities are 3, 4, 5 times higher than soldier fatalities. So much for the genocide charge. Do I care about the death of Palestinians? Of course. Is as real to me as the death of Israelis? I see the pictures of Israelis. I read the stories. That's more real to me, to be honest. Just like if you know the people in Gaza, that's going to be more real to you. But are they equally grievous in God's sight? Yes. Is the death of a Palestinian child just as grievous as the death of an Israeli child? Yes. But the difference on the one hand is that Hamas is slaughtering as many innocent Israelis as possible, and Israel is trying to preserve the lives of as many innocent civilians in Gaza and Lebanon as possible. All right, well, we mentioned Sydney earlier. Let's go over to Sydney. John, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Are you there? John, are you there? If so, I can't hear John. Okay? One more time. Are you there? Guess not. Okay. Not sure what happened there. Okay. Not even sure. There we go. Okay. Just having a problem on my own board here. All right. There we go. No more calls. Sorry. Guess John couldn't hold through the show. One of these days of tech surprises. Let me play one other piece of footage for you. This is a shorter one. This is Ron Cantor and I. And let me try to paint the picture for those listening on radio or on podcast. There is a large field, and it just has cars stacked up, burnt to a crisp, others lined up on the ground like at a car dealership, except they're burned, they're bullet-ridden, and then you have some vehicles like pickup trucks and things like that with guns on the back. You know, there's a machine gun set where they could be firing. Those were some of the Hamas vehicles, but almost everything there, these are vehicles of Israelis that were hit with RPGs that exploded and people burned alive. Ambulance it's mangled, just horrific. Tell you what, before we go to that clip, let's see if we can try to reconnect with John. All right, John, one more time. Are you there, sir? Hello, hello.
Can hello?
You hear me? Yes, go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Go ahead and speak, sir. Okay. Hello. Not your fault. Obviously, there is a technical issue. We were wrestling with them right before radio. Hey, one thing is when we do our switch with pre-recorded radio and then live streams, some of the technical challenges will go away of coordinating all these different things at the same time. John, my profound apologies. We're unable to hear. Well, you can hear us, but you can't hear me. So my apologies. Maybe you could send your question in via the website, thelineoffire.org. Click contact and ask if it could be addressed on the air, thelineoffire.org. Click contact. Okay, let's go over to that footage. And again, trying to paint the picture for you. If you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, you'll see it, but everyone else will hear the narrative. Again, filmed in June with Ron Cantor.
All right, so what are we looking at here?
These are all the cars that were torched behind us on October the 7th, hundreds and hundreds of them. Most of the time people were inside, they were hit with RPGs, completely burned alive. Over there is an ambulance. There were 13 people in that ambulance. And we talked to a mother because she goes to the Nova Super Rave concert area every day and talks to groups. And she said the only way they recognized her daughter was from three teeth that they found, DNA. So,
people
and then
burned alive.
Yeah, and then over here, we see, there's many of the Hamas motorcycles that were in the video, and you can see bullet holes in all these hearts, and goes back, you know, 500 meters.
All these, it's like a, you think you're at a car dealership.
Right.
With rows and rows of cars. These are all the cars that were bullet ridden, and
yeah. Somebody, when I first put this online, someone said, oh, anybody could burn cars. So I came back, and I got video of all the bullet holes. And of course, you know, they've been cleaned from blood, and but these belong to people. And many people were killed. The cars over here, people were shot in their cars. And of course, this Azusa right here, this is a Hamas. That's their vehicle. You can see the gun holder on the top there. That's where they stood up in the bed and shot people.
And while this is happening, bombs are still coming in. While we're talking, bombs pouring in from the north. And Israel waging war, Israeli soldiers dying in Gaza as the world condemns Israel.
And as the world says this didn't happen.
Yeah.
There are people around the world who say this didn't happen.
All right, so friends, that's the striking reality. For those who just attribute anti-Semitism to natural causes, no, it's demonic. It's demonic. It is the world's longest hatred, the world's most widespread hatred, the world's most irrational hatred. And with this intensity, centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries in, from all fronts, from all sides, from the left, from the right, from professing Christians to Muslims, from all sides, from black supremacists and white supremacists, the same Jew hatred, and the same delegitimizing of Israel and demonizing of Israel. This is supernatural. It is demonic. And it is a reflection, friends, of Satan's hatred of you and me. Never forget that. You say, Mike, you said there was going to be some encouragement. The encouragement is God is a redeemer. The encouragement is that God can bring beauty out of ashes. The encouragement is God can bring light out of darkness. And ultimately, as the whole world shakes, we could have 20 years of history ahead of us. We could have 100 years. God knows. I don't know. Anyone date setting, everyone's date set up to now, if the dates come up to now, it's already passed and been wrong. It could be 200 years, could be 5 years. God knows how much history is ahead of us. But for sure, when we do read about the end, when we read about the end and we read about final shaking around the world, world upheaval, even outpouring of God's wrath, there's one place where there's a promise of deliverance and safety, and that's Israel, that God will deliver his people. And that ultimately Yeshua himself will come and will fight for his people, Israel, and they will be delivered. But friends, so much of this will happen through your prayers. The people in Israel are recognizing the tangible love of Christians around the world, simply saying, we stand with you as you seek to defend yourself against terrorists who want to wipe you out. Remember, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, Houthis, None of them want a peaceful two-state solution. They want the annihilation of Israel. We stand with God against those who would destroy Israel and the Jewish people. Your prayers will make you. May God bring you out of hand on the same. It's our resistance. You can't resist.